And I'm going to entitle this, Speak to Your Mountain. And we'll spend a few lessons on this. Speak to Your Mountain. And how many know, you know, sometimes, not sometimes, that's the wrong thing to say. Everybody, if you're in this earth, you're going to face a mountain in life. It's not a matter of if you will, it's a matter of when you will. And you're going to face a mountain. It's just a matter of what you do when you face it. That's the key. And just some of this you already know. We all know. But for some reason, God has this thing about Himself. He knows what we need. So it's not a matter about what, it's not a matter of what we know, it's what we need to know at that particular time. What we need to be reminded of at that particular time. And God is a good Father, and so He will prompt us to share things that will help us. Isn't that good? God is a good Father, He's a good parent, and He knows some things, sometimes what people are bumping around in and struggling with. Sometimes it's not even just struggling. Sometimes they're getting frustrated over things. In the standing. They're doing the right thing, but they're frustrated. They're getting tired. And God knows that. And sometimes He just wants us to be reminded, keep doing it. Keep doing the same thing. Keep exercising the Word. Keep saying it. And it'll encourage our faith. And so I'm impressed to go this way. Not sure how many lessons we'll do. Could be just one. Or it could be a few. But for right now, that's what we're going to do. Is that all right with you all? It's all right with me because I need to hear it. Amen. You know, when we walk through things, we need to be encouraged and reminded of what? Not just what I say, but what the Word says. And what does the Bible say about mountains? What does it say about faith? What does it say about walking through things? And, you know, sometimes, I'll say it this way, sometimes people get so churched, they got church answers. And that's just the truth. You talk to enough people, whether you're a pastor or you're an individual, people got church answers. And they're not really, sometimes not being honest, and sometimes they've just heard it so often that they just like parrots, they got an answer for you. But they're not being honest. They're not what the Bible says we're to examine ourselves. And so, one thing about mountains, I know this, it's not only just, well, let me say it this way. Every person's going to face a mountain in their life. And how you face that is going to depend on whether you get through it or not. Whether you go through or whether that situation or mountain defeats you. And it starts really with, you know, a lot of things. I know Pastor Greg has been teaching on an area of our mind and mind renewal. And you know how you face something? It doesn't even have to be something spiritual. It could just be something natural that we face. How we approach that is really your attitude. How you approach that situation with your attitude will really determine whether you get through it or not. And that's just a natural thing. People who, you know, they'll share with you that in hospitals, people that get through very serious situations, it's their attitude about how they approached that. And how they maintained their attitude with that. And so, that's really where you want to start. And an attitude really starts with what's your attitude regarding the Word of God. Because that's foundational, isn't it? What's our attitude concerning what God says? Because it really doesn't matter what people say about a situation. You know, you can call your friends. You can even call a pastor, and they can tell you something. But if they're not going to tell you what the Word of God says, then, you know, you can say thank you very much, because they can commiserate with you and pat you on the back, and, you know, we can all cry and get all of that. But and when it's all said and done, what does God say about that? Because what I say, what you say to your friends or somebody who's in trouble, really doesn't mean anything unless either God has prompted you to share something to encourage, bring some light, bring some encouragement, or what does the Word of God say? Because that is what's really going to help somebody. And they may not want to hear it. They may buck at that and tell you, you know, go away, I don't want to hear that. But really, you know, one of the things that I think I appreciate so much about Kenneth E. Hagin is that God instructed him to teach my people faith. One of the things that I was sharing about Brother Hagin is that God shared some things, some principles with him to get over in life. And every person comes from various situations, various backgrounds, various ethnicities, various educational backgrounds, some with the highest level, some with nothing. Some from the poorest, some from the richest. We all come from various backgrounds and various situations. And let me ask a question. Do you think God knew that before he wrote the Word of God, before it was penned or inspired by the writers? You think he knew that? That we all came from various backgrounds, various situations, the haves and the have-nots. Right? So let me ask a question. If that's the case, did God miss it somewhere? See, because if you're going to hang on your little have, or I don't have, or I have, then what you're doing is you're telling God he didn't know what he was writing about. That's really what you're saying. You're really just saying, you know, I don't believe God, or my situation is bigger than your word. Because we know personally of people, they don't talk about their stuff. They don't talk about the bad situations that they come out of. They don't talk about, I know a pastor who's running a thriving church, Spanish, in jail, incarcerated, 25 to life. No, really no chance of getting out. In gangs. Got saved, believe God, out. People that had nothing. People that murdered and were behind bars. Look at Paul. Look at all the people in the Bible. Look at David who came up against Goliath. So what's your little problem? See, now to you, it's a mountain, just like Goliath. But Goliath, although he was imposing at 10 feet or more, and a massive person against this little David, David knew his God. Not only knew him, but believed him and said, I believe God, and everything he said is true, and you're going down. I'm taking your head off. See, and that's no different today. whether we have some mountain or situation in our life, when we believe God and trust Him, the circumstances must change. God doesn't say in His Word they'll change overnight. He doesn't say they'll change in a week or a month or a year. He doesn't say that. He just says they'll change. And so we have to trust God that His Word is true. God is not a liar. He said so. And I don't care what we're walking through. If you believe God, Mark 11:22 says, have the faith of God. And verse 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt. See, that's the problem. We doubt sometimes. I've doubted sometimes. Sometimes something's taken years. Years. I'm talking years. God spoke to me as a young man and said He was going to do some things with me. 23 or 24 years went by. And I really thought, well, maybe He meant something else. I'm serious. I did. I said, well, maybe He meant something else. Maybe I missed it. I'm just happy running sound. I'll do that. I'll serve. Keep serving. Be faithful. Be where I'm supposed to be. But He meant exactly what He said. To the T. And some of the things that He's spoken to me still haven't come fulfilled, but they will. See. And so the key is that if God has said something to you, then it's going to come to pass, sure as the sun comes up, or sure as shooting, I don't know what you ever want to call it. Whatever they say in the vernacular is coming to pass. But whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe what? Believe your friend? Believe what the pastor said? No, believe that the things that you say shall come to pass. If you do that, it says then, if you believe that the things that you saith shall come to pass, you shall have. You shall have whatsoever you saith. And sometimes, because I've made this mistake early in my Christian life, I guess I ought to pray. Just thought about that. Guess I should pray and start, huh? Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for these words that You've put in my heart. Thank You, Father, for these great people that are here before You. For they are great because they're Your children. And even though we come from various places, we thank You that in Christ we're one. We may come from different backgrounds. Our outside may be different, but on the inside we're all one. And I thank You, Father, for these words. May they penetrate. And as they're acted upon, I believe and decree that they will change the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was saying, that when we believe the things that we say, they'll come to pass. And I don't really, you know, again, God says in His Word, in Mark 11. Let me just turn over there a minute. When the interesting thing to me, and I'm sure you've all thought about this, because if you're in this human body, with this mind that we have, you know, this mind is always going, you know, what about this, what about this, how come, you know, why isn't this working, blah, blah, blah. You know, our mind is always going. Sometimes we need to just tell it to be still, shut up, be quiet, because it's always talking. But the interesting thing to me is that in verse 23, it says, whosoever. Who's whosoever? That means anybody. Let me ask a question. Does that mean that this is, you see, we talk about bias. It says whosoever, doesn't it? So that means you could be rich or poor, whosoever. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter what background you come from, what education you come from, what family you come from. This says, whosoever. Doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter if you're over there killing people in another country. This says what? Whosoever. So that means whosoever. And when you look down further at the end of that verse, it says, he shall have whatsoever. So that means to me, whosoever can have whatsoever. Isn't that what that says? Whosoever can have whatsoever. No restrictions. The only restriction is this mind of ours. It gets in the way sometimes of what God says about the situation. And for me, this means that there's not one thing, if it's promised in the Word of God, you can't have. And Brother Hagin said it for years, for 60-plus years. And I was listening to his son last night again, Kenneth W. Hagin, he was sharing. I was watching, they were doing a Living Faith Crusade out of Tennessee. And he was saying, you know, a lot of people say to him periodically, what was it like living in your house, in the house with your dad? He said, what was it like living in your house with your dad? He said, what was it like? He said, it's my dad. He said he was a dad to me, just like any other dad. So it wasn't, you know, something spooky or something way off. You know, he was a dad to his children and a husband to his wife. But some of the principles, he said, if I could sum it up, one thing that he taught me when I was growing up is that Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He said his dad exampled that or exemplified that through his childhood. And he said a lot of times, more often than not, he said people would call him, you know, in a tizzy and call him and say, oh my God, what are we going to do? And he'd say, give me the phone. And he said, I said they will live and not die. And, or he'd say, I don't have a word from the Lord, but I say. And that struck me. Because a lot of times we're saying, well, let me just wait and see what the Lord says. No. He said his dad said, I don't have a word from the Lord, but I have God's word, which is a word from the Lord. Now, what did he mean by that? I don't have a word of knowledge about this situation, but I have God's word already written to me, so I can speak that and expect results. See, sometimes we're saying, well, let me wait on the Lord. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. He may give you a word of knowledge about a situation, but when you don't have that, you already have God's word. You've already got it written, which is forever settled, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And that is key. The Lord has been nudging me lately and saying, you need to correct this. What are you saying here about this? Is that what you want? See, you need to examine yourself and be open to the Holy Ghost to tell you, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about your mountain in your life? What are you saying? See? And that is what, when we start to make those adjustments and we don't doubt in our heart, see, whether it takes a week or 2 weeks, 10 weeks, 100 weeks, 10 years, you keep saying what God has promised in the Word of God. You keep saying it and do what? Doubt not in your heart. And I'll say this, sometimes when it's your body and there's a physical symptom in your body, your faith is really the determining factor here. But when other people are involved, then sometimes, I'm just saying it that way, sometimes it takes longer because other people are involved. But other people can't stop what you say about a situation. Can't. God will move heaven and earth. God will move upon the hearts of people. When we moved into this facility, they didn't want to, there was a vote in the town that had to be voted upon to let us, there was a vote at that time as to whether or not they were going to sell it to us or to the people that were going to use this as a multiplex theater. And one of the persons that had a say in that said he sat bolt upright in bed, and he said a voice spoke to me and said, vote no. See, God will move heaven and earth and speak to the people that are needed to change things in your life if we say, if we keep decreeing what the Word says about that situation. So, one of the things, and I'll just say this, sometimes what happens is that, and I don't say I'm guilty with this, but sometimes mountains, I won't say we can make friends with the mountain, but sometimes when a mountain doesn't change, we just go, okay, I guess it's just got to be this way. Isn't that true? Every one of us have been in situations where after a while, when we're confessing and we're believing God and things don't change and they don't change, we're trusting, not saying that we're not, we're trusting, we're believing God for a change, and something doesn't change after a period of time. The thoughts come. Well, maybe, just maybe this wasn't God's will. So I'm just going to just let it go. Well, now, in a sense, what's happened is the mountain has out-talked you. It's out-talked you. Because when you think about it, it's no different than what Goliath did. He talked some trash talk, didn't he? He talked trash, said what he was going to do, and everybody saw him and said, whoa, see ya, except David. And David ran onto the field of battle and began to tell him not what he was going to do, but what God was going to do on his behalf. So I think that when we begin to, you know, and again, I don't know who's going through some things or who needs to be reminded, but don't let go of your faith in God. Don't let go of the promises of God. You know, if you've been standing for a while, pick it back up again. Decree what it is you desire. For you not to prosper is not the will of God. Because in 3 John 2 it says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we know it's the will of God for us to prosper, and we know it's the will of God to be in health. So when things don't look like I'm prospering and it doesn't look like I'm staying in health, then I need to examine and see what's going on. Usually what I do is I start to examine me. First of all, am I walking out of love with people? Am I been critical? Have I got bitterness in my heart about something? If my heart's clear, then I start looking at what am I saying? What are the words coming out of my mouth? And begin to look at that and examine that. Because things sometimes, I remember Brother Hagin saying this, that he said there was a young man who was on his deathbed. He was in a coma. And he said, got a call. He went to the hospital, knelt down, and was praying for a period of time. And he said it this way. He said, Holy Ghost, you're not hooking up with me. So he sensed the Holy Ghost wasn't there to pray through him and work in that situation. And he said, the Spirit of God said, no, and I'm not. He said, this young man put spiritual laws in motion with his words. And the only one that can change them is him. So sometimes we put things in motion in our life with words that we've spoken. I have this, I can't do this, I'm this. And we've put some things in motion in our life, and God's not to blame. we did it unknowingly. Hey, I did for years. I said stuff. And I was the recipient of it. But once we find out what God says, and that we're His children, and that because of that, we are, what does the scripture say? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of who? Of Christ Jesus. So let me ask a question. If you are a joint heir, what does that mean to you? That means everything that Jesus got is mine. So that means I don't have to beg God for it. I don't have to say, please, pretty please. I don't have to get angry. It's already mine. Prosperity is mine. Healing is mine. Provision is mine. It's already been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And the difference is me believing that and acting and trusting God. And begin to decree it. That's mine. I have it. Thank you. And that's really the difference between, really, if you want to get to it, is the people who receive and the people who don't receive. And I'm not saying that, what I am saying is I know for me in my life, the times that I didn't receive is because I was not operating in faith. And you can read all of Brother Hagin's books. He said, you know, the Lord spoke to him when he left his last church. He said, my last pastorate was between 1946 and 1949. And the Lord spoke to me and said, leave this church and go out on the field ministry. And he said, up to that point, he said, when it came to provisions, to my everyday needs, he said, I didn't really have to use my faith because, he said, the church paid for the parsonage. They paid for the utilities. He was the pastor, so they had a house or a parsonage. It was all paid for. They owned the home. You could stay in it. They paid the utilities. He said people blessed them with food. So he said, really, we didn't have to use our faith that much. He said, but when God said to him, go out on the field, he said it was like a wake-up call. Because now all of a sudden, he had to pay for his house. He had to pay for the utilities. He had to pay for the food. He had to pay for all of this. And now all of a sudden it's staring in your face. He said, I hadn't been using my faith. See. But he said when it came to healing, he said, well, I was right on it. That's what he said. When it came to healing for me and my family members, I was right on it. And got results. But he said it took a bit to have to walk through some things, lack of things, until his faith got developed and working in this area of provision and finances. And now going out and going from meeting to meeting and having to believe God for the finances. And not just believing it, as you hear him tell his stories, he began to say, I command this amount of money to come in. And believe it and decree it. I had to learn that. When I came to this ministry, they could not afford to pay but so much for me to work here. It wasn't enough to pay my gas in my car to drive back and forth here to Hackensack. So what did I do? Well, I needed to develop my faith. At the time, I thought, well, okay, I'll use the money I have saved. So that's what I did. That worked for 1 year till I ran out. Then what do? Either quit the job and go back to corporate, which I was doing, and get more money, or you stay where you are, and God told me to come work here. And so I had to believe God for money. And so that's what I did. And I began to, and I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? He said, believe for this amount of money a week extra. That's what I did. I started calling it in. And in less than 2 weeks, that money came. It met my needs. It covered my expenses. Did I have luxury and extra? No, but it covered my needs. Covered what I needed. You understand my point? So when we're walking through something and there's a mountain, whether it's financial or physical, if you don't get a word of knowledge from God, see, you need to ask the question, am I where I'm supposed to be? Didn't we read that Sunday? I was sharing about John 6. When they went up and Jesus took his disciples up into the mountain and that great company came up into the mountain and he said, let's feed them. And Philip said, what's 200 penny worth? In other words, we ain't got enough money to feed all these people. And then Andrew said, we only got a few fish and loaves of bread here from this little boy over here. What's that going to do? And Jesus began to say, sit them down in companies of 50 or in groups. And he made them prepare for the miracle. And so it's the same thing. Are you in the place that you're supposed to be? If you are, God is responsible for meeting your need. If you're his child, he hath already redeemed you from the curse of the law. So that means sickness has already been paid for. We don't have to ask God to heal me. He's already done it. All we have to do is believe it and begin to do what? Say it. Speak unto this mountain. Every single one of us have walked through situations. And the things that get you through is faith. You can't please God without it. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who come to him every once in a while. You got to diligently seek him. And you've got to put him in remembrance of his word and thank him. What's the password? Thank you. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father, that my body functions properly. Thank you that every tissue and organ of my body functions perfectly. Thank you that every cell and ligament is functioning normally. And if you're behind or you don't have enough money, you begin to speak. See, this said here, whosoever. So, you know, folks can say, yeah, but you don't understand this, 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 and this. So let me see. Where is that and whosoever? I'll give you that. It ain't there. So you really have to just say, you know what? God said it. I believe it. And that's it. I'm going to take him at his word. Brother Hagin would do that. He'd say, now, God, if this don't come through, he said, I know you're not a man that you lie, but I said, you said you'd do it. and just put him to the test. What does it say? Prove me. We're to prove God. And professing our faith in God, you know, just like with any endeavor that we take, if there's no action, there's no faith. Faith is dead without what? An action, without works. And so one key thing is that if we don't, well, I'll say it this way, you will say what you believe. You will profess with your mouth what you believe. If you really believe it's hard, you'll talk about it. You'll say, this is hard. I ain't making it. I can't, and talk about it. That tells me, and God checks me every now and then and says, whoop, why are you saying that? Yep, you're right. Thank you. You know, if you think God said that they could go in and take the promised land, but in the promised land, there were what? There were giants in the land. There were obstacles in there, but he said, it's your land. Go in and take it. If you think God has said the same thing, he said, that property I will give you as a spoil. So if you think that it's going to be without opposition, you're in dreamland. You're in fantasy land. Because everything that God is going to show you, that there are going to be roadblocks. What they are and when they come, I don't know. But to think you're just going to walk in without obstacles, God is saying you're going to have to use your faith and decree what I said. See, when you do, God will work in your behalf. See, we release our faith, activates the power of God. So the promises of God, all the promises of God are ours, aren't they? Healing is mine, salvation is mine, prosperity is mine. But what makes that a reality? What activates that? Faith does. So you didn't become born again. Salvation was yours. Jesus said that he died for every man. And every man was cleared of their past. But what cause that to activate the power of God to change their heart, their faith in him? So it's the same for provisions. It's the same for mountains. Mountains will move. The power of God will move the mountain when we speak to it. And Brother Hagin said it. I've experienced it. Trust me. Man, my mind would say, you'll never have it, you can't have it, it's not going to change. All the time that I'm saying it, my mind is saying the opposite. You'll never have it. You won't own it. You'll never be that. Your body will never change. And I'd keep saying it and saying it and saying it. Say it until you see it. You say it until you see it. Because that's the same thing as whosoever will have whatsoever. And so we need to keep saying until we see it. Because if it's a promise of God, it has to come to pass. See, it may not come to pass exactly as how you think it'll come to pass, but it'll come to pass. Sometimes we think, well, it's going to come to pass this way, and this way, so we don't see it come to pass. We don't see it change exactly the same way as we think it should. Then we just kind of let go. But you say it until you start seeing change. And it has to change, must change. Anybody understand that? Let's turn over for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just for a moment here. One thing I know about faith, faith needs to be fed upon from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Most times when I'm home, I've got something playing to feed my faith. When I'm getting up, when I'm going to bed, when I'm around the house, I've got something. I don't have the TV playing, listening to the news. I don't have a daytime show playing. Even if I am home, I have something that feeds my faith, because faith is what's going to help me to succeed in life. Because when the mountain comes, I don't need to know what the 10 o'clock news is saying. I need to know what the Word of God, and it comes up out of here like a sword, that'll change that mountain. Is that not true? That's what's going to fix it for me. So the more I feed on the Word of God, it could be 15 minutes, it could be a half an hour. I'm listening to something that feeds my faith. And faith is progressive. You know that. Faith is cumulative. We've shared that in past lessons. Faith is cumulative, meaning it's built upon what? Line upon line, precept upon precept. So your faith from when you first got born again is not the same as it is now. It's cumulative. And so that's why it's important to keep feeding it, keep feeding it, keep feeding your faith, keep exercising your faith. What do I mean? Believe God for things. Keep stretching your faith in areas. If you're believing for something, that's what I'm saying. I believe God for things. I keep trying to stretch my faith in areas. Because God is going to hold us accountable for what we have. Every man has been given what? The measure of faith. So are you the person that took that and buried it in the ground? Or are you going to use it and exercise it? So some things are not pleasant to reach out and stretch for. Sometimes it's like exercise. Is exercising pleasant? No, but we like the results. Is exercising your faith pleasant sometimes? No, but we like the results. We like it when things change. We like it when things kind of hup to our words, don't we? Yeah, we do. But it takes exercising it, and it takes time to develop our faith, the God kind of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So you're going to say what you believe. And therein lies the key to the spirit of faith. We're going to say what we believe. Positive or negative. Good or bad. Godly or ungodly, we're going to speak what we believe. So, for me, the start of this is really that when we're facing mountains in our life, big or small, See, because something could be small, but it's big in your eyes. It can be very large in someone else's life. It could be a very large mountain. But it really, everything is going to be moved by faith. Everything is going to change by faith. And so it's important that we examine this particular area and meditate upon it. And let's go back. Let's just close with this. Let's let our eyes look at Mark 11 again. Starting in verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And some of the Bibles in their margin, it'll say, "Have the faith of God." Some margins will say, "Have the faith that God gives." Some translations will say that also, "Have the faith that God gives." Right. Okay, there's another translation. So, again, when you see this, Jesus is speaking here. He said, have the God kind of faith, or faith in God, or the faith that God gives. And then he begins to show us what that God kind of faith is like. And you can see here it's believing and saying. Believing and saying is one way, and the other is prayer. What does he say here in verse 24? "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." But once you pray and believe you receive them, you're still going to have to do what? Say. You're still going to have to say what you believe you received in prayer. So saying is a good part of our Christian walk and is foundational. Saying is foundational with faith. And through the years, Brother Hagin would talk about how God had spoken to him in this particular verse and said, "My people don't have a problem believing me." He said, it's not a problem with their believing. He said, my people have a problem with their saying, not their believing. Because a lot of times we say, I believe this, but we say contrary to what we believe. So really one has to say, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Because you're saying contrary. You're saying something other than what you say you believe. And for me, the victories that I have won and lost, I'll say it that way, maybe it's not a victory, but the victories I've won and the things that I have not have all been boiled down to one thing, what I said. I go back, the Lord sometimes will remind me and show me, what did you say about that? And a lot of times I have to go, oof, I sure didn't say the right thing. Some of it was out of ignorance at the time, but he reminds me, and the things of latter years now, the victories that I've walked through and won have been saying what the Word says. You got to get it down in your heart. Once you get the Word of God down here, then you begin to believe this and you begin to say what you believe. So that when mountains come, you don't have to ask God, what should I do? You already know what to do. You begin to speak to it. and command it to change. And see, sometimes that's the difference. That's the make or break in our victory. We're wondering, what do I do? How shall I handle this? And so often, we haven't been exercising, or we're not clear what we should do. And we need to decree more. We need to say more. You know, one of the things the Lord has been putting in my heart lately, and I may share this on Sunday, I'll share it with you, is that God has been stirring my heart, you know, just kind of stirring it here. That he said, I've already given you that property. You don't have to ask me. It wasn't our idea. It was his idea. He said, I'm going to give you that property. So for me to ask him would be like, what? Didn't I already tell you that? So we need to start decreeing what he's already said about it. Words have gone forth over this ministry and to this ministry, to Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, to the ministry at large. Dr. Price, Frederick Price, Apostle Price now. He yielded and spoke in tongues and interpreted it in 1990. That was 5 years after this ministry started. Or 5 years after we were here, 10 years after the ministry started. And began to say, I know you like it here, but this isn't your final place. And he said that in 1990 and said, you might as well put a for sale sign on it. He said, because you're not going to stay here. He said, this is the thing, and I may play this again at some point, maybe Sunday again, I don't know, as the Lord leads. But the last time I played this, he says on that recording, you can stay there if you want, but I won't be in it. Oh, that's strong. See, you could stay here, but I won't be in it. See, we need to say what God says. We need to speak what God has already spoken. What did he say? He said, that building is yours. You need to call this place sold, and you need to decree what is yours. See, that's how you acquire, that's how you take, that's how you come into what you would call the promised land. And think about this, as a Christian, everything in Christ is yours. It's already yours. Just like in the Old Testament, they were given the promised land, but they didn't experience it until they did what? They had to go in and take it. And really, it's no different in our Christian walk. We have the promises given to us, but we don't benefit if we don't receive them, do we? We just go through life defeated, and it's not God's will, because he's already said, I've given you all these promises. So when you don't receive them, just like this, he said, if you will say, not God, he's saying whosoever. He's not saying Jesus is going to do the work for you. He's saying whosoever says and doubts not in their heart, but believes the things that they say shall come to pass. You'll have it. So that means whatever that is. And especially if it's promised by God. So I would encourage that and remind ourselves to not let go of things that God has spoken to us, because this says, whosoever. You know, I read so often, I was reading an article today about this Christian pastor in Iran, and he talks about how Jesus appeared to him. He was a staunch Muslim, hardliner, and Jesus appeared to him, and he said, "Yes, Lord." And he, to his own hurt and harm, I mean, when you have that kind of a transformation, he said, everything that he fought against, now he stands for. And he's in prison, being persecuted and so forth, but he said it's with joy, because of who he now represents. But God, even in those situations, God is meeting his need. He said he's converting. He writes in this story in Billy Graham's magazine how he's converting the inmates to Christianity. They're seeing a light in him. And some of the, there were two other women they were writing about who were converted to Christianity and were Muslim also and were put into this same extreme prison that, you know, just sends terror in the people's hearts. And then they mentioned the name. And these women were out preaching the gospel on the streets of Tehran, and if you get caught, you're dead. If your family is Muslim, if your father and mother are Muslim, and you're Christian, and you're proselytizing, you're executed. So they knew what they were doing, and they knew the cost. And they wanted to reach prostitutes. They wanted to reach people who were in trouble, you know, on the streets. And they were just, they didn't know where they were. So they got arrested, thrown into the prison with all of the people they were trying to reach. So they said, hallelujah. They just said, thank you, Lord. We're in prison, and now we've got this whole captive audience of people we were trying to reach, and they were rejoicing. So sometimes I'll say this, that God is preparing us to do what? Reach people, reach the hurting, reach the lost, reach the broken. And sometimes we're going to walk through some hardships. It's training. But we should never, ever put aside the principles of the Word of God regarding mountains. Sometimes, you know, we want to move some of these mountains out of the way, and God is putting us sometimes, allowing us to walk through some of these things. And I'm not talking about sickness and disease and poverty. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of the things and obstacles you may walk through in a job that you don't work with them people. But God may be allowing that so that you can reach people that are hurting. See, that's a different thing. Sometimes we may have to go through some persecution to reach people. But when it comes to mountains, we need to speak to the mountains. And they will move if we don't give up. They'll change. I mean, I've experienced it on more than one occasion. I mean, I was 6 months to death and God just spoke to me about doing some things, changing some natural habits. But then there were some other things that I walked through that weren't, that I just had to speak to it, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it, and it changed supernaturally. So as I said, some things you don't wait and ask God what I should do, and then there's some things that God will give you a word of knowledge what to do. Does that make sense? Work with what you know. Exercise it. Work it. And it'll change. It'll change. Not God doesn't play favorites. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites with people. He honors his word. Hallelujah. Well, we're finished for now. How many are going to continue to speak to their mountains? I am, because that was what pleases God. And God, I'll say this also, God wants us to live a limitless life. No limits. Limitless. No limits with God. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for reminding us of your word, that we can have what we say if we say it and don't doubt in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for your word that's forever settled in heaven. And it'll work if we work it. In Jesus' name, amen.